Hey, everybody. You know, Mark and I have over 20 years of experience as therapists and as addicts in long-term successful recovery. We know better than anyone what works and what doesn't to break out of porn and sex addiction, heal betrayal trauma, and reclaim your relationship.
And we've poured all of our personal and professional recovery and healing experience into a first-of-its-kind program for addicts, spouses, and couples. We call it Dare to Connect.
At least four times every week, we engage with you in real time, in the trenches, giving you the knowledge and the tools to take back your life and relationship.
Whatever else you've done on your journey for healing and recovery, you've never done anything like this.
You know, Mark and I, we've made all the mistakes, so you don't have to. Don't reinvent the wheel.
We all know tomorrow never comes. Look, don't wait one more day to change. Claim your free two-week trial today at daretoconnectnow.com.
Hey, everybody. I'm Steve Moore.
And I'm Mark Castleman.
We know the pain and heartbreak of porn and sex addiction.
And we know the triumph of breaking completely free.
Every day, we help our clients find hope and healing.
Join us in the fight to take back your life, your marriage, and be stronger than ever.
This is the PBSC Squared Podcast. Good to be with you today. We're excited for today's topic. We're going to follow up a little bit and do kind of a reflection of what we did last week back in episode 66. Last week, we focused a little bit on the barriers that get thrown up when it comes to being able to resolve conflict in healthy ways and to use conflict in a healthy way and the things that get in the way. And we focused a bit on kind of the addict side, speaking from our own experience and our clients. And so we wanted to do something similar this week, but speaking from the partner side of things. And as we will own, as we do every time we talk about this, we do not pretend to be the end all be all authority on your betrayal trauma. Every case is unique. Every case is individual, but Mark and I have been doing this for a long time. And so we're going to kind of pull our experience in working with individuals struggling with betrayal trauma and our own experience in as husbands watching our wives go through it and all of that stuff together to make something comprehensive today. In order to really talk about this, it should be known before we even just jump into this, we do need to get, you're going to be best served in this podcast if you go back and you listen to episodes 3 through 5. We did a 3-part series on betrayal trauma called What is Betrayal Trauma? About over a year ago, which is crazy. And so please go back and listen to those first. It'll make this podcast much more meaningful. But if we were to really quickly just cover some of the symptoms of betrayal trauma that are going to be relevant to today's discussion, I'll just go ahead and list them off real quick. And they all have to do with the ones we're going to focus on specifically today because of the relationship dynamic is the trust piece, right? When we look at these different symptoms, partners are really struggle to, who have gone through betrayal trauma to one degree or another, really struggle with 4 separate types of trauma, right? Or 4 separate areas of trust, I should say. First of all, they struggle to trust their partner, right? I hear from wives, and Mark, I know, hears from wives over and over again, you know, will he hurt me again? He'll never be safe. You know, it's not a question of if he's going to screw me over. It's just a question of when. I'm just waiting for that ball to drop. And that is a huge component that, you know, is probably the more common side of this that we oftentimes see.
And it's, you know, it's really important once we start talking about this trust issue for those of you listening who are suffering with betrayal trauma, going into a place where you have trouble trusting or you don't, you know, the things we'll talk about is a normal, healthy part of healing. Right. If you start to stand up for yourself, you start to be mindful of where you're at, mm-hmm. and having issues where you set boundaries on trust is the right passageway to get to this place. Mm. Please watch for feelings of shame or guilt or, you know, we as addicts will start to, you know, sometimes criticize our wives. Why won't you trust me? What's wrong with you? And we may try to start to manipulate out of that place. Mm. But yeah. having boundaries with trust is a necessary doorway to walk through. And it's something that you need to do. And it's legitimate. It's like you need to protect yourself, right, from further pain and harm and all of those things.
So absolutely.
Please don't misinterpret this. Oh, I'm not trusting him right now. That is an important step.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great point to make. And I'm glad you said it because I probably didn't phrase it correctly. Yeah, these are very normal responses. When we talk about betrayal trauma, we're not talking about this through a lens of, you know, this is a bad thing or something that needs to be corrected. You know, the trauma response is, as we talk about on here often, is a really healthy thing. Like Mark said, it protects us, keeps us safe. Where it becomes problematic, right, is when it starts to self-sabotage the recovery process, the healing process, right? Keeps us stuck. Yeah. And so, no, you make a great point there. You know, and along with, you know, not trusting a partner, you know, the next thing that I oftentimes hear from wives that I'm working with, and I know Mark hears the same, is we will oftentimes be working with partners who are working through trust issues with their higher power or trust issues on a spiritual plane. And I can really relate to this for very different reasons from my childhood and my dad passing and trauma that way. There was a betrayal trauma dynamic to that for me on a spiritual level, right? Why would God not warn me, be it about a plane crash or in the case of working with a partner, right? Why would God not warn me about this before we got married?
Yeah.
Why would he not tell me about this? Why would he let that happen? Right. Why didn't I see it? Like, was I off spiritually somehow? And he was sending the message, right? And I just didn't get it, you know? And so we start to question in that respect as well.
Yeah. And then it can spill over into other relationships all around us.
Absolutely.
If he could betray me and, you know, someone that's closer to me than anyone, then who else would I be vulnerable to being betrayed by? Who else is deceiving me? What else am I not seeing?
Yes.
And it can spill over into all of our relationships where they become suspect.
Totally. Totally. And the gaslighting, right, and the manipulation that we as addicts play out through our, be it nefariously or unintentionally with our spouses, just deepens that, right? Mm-hmm. It's really a kind of a questioning of one's whole reality, honestly. But then the most important piece of that kind of leading to reality is most spouses on a deep level really struggle to trust themselves.
Yes.
Right. When they get really vulnerable underneath the anger and the frustration and that kind of that deflector shield that they've got up, there is a real fear, not just of these other things, but, you know, my gut let me down. Right. My gut was the thing that led me off the cliff to begin with. You know, it's what left me vulnerable in the first place. So, you know, I don't even know where to go because my internal gut check is not functioning right.
Yeah, very true. They, you know, I start doubting the inner voice, you know, what we might call our heart, you know, what my heart was trying to tell me. And you begin to doubt everything.
Yeah.
Higher power, yourself, your relationships, all of it. And we've talked in the past about one of the things that will stoke this whole process we're describing is we as addicts, out of our own sense of hiding and staying safe and not wanting to expose and speak the truth, we will gaslight.
Yes.
You know, an ego strategy is to try to perpetuate this process of our spouses feeling crazy. And we can actually move that along.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And if we kind of, you know, get a little deeper into actually the barriers as these apply to actual connection, right? Knowing some of the symptoms of the betrayal, and we look at how this manifests out in the relationship and how it creates that wall that we referenced earlier on. The first thing that comes to mind, right, is there's that wall is in many ways, and rightfully so, is made up of a lot of anger, right? There's a lot of frustration about what has happened, and rightfully so. It's important to note that a big part of the reason why we get angry as people in general is there is the justice and the betrayal component, but anger has an oftentimes, whether it's intended or not, a really handy side effect of creating emotional distance, right? You hurt me, you cause pain to me, so I'm separating myself using anger from you, right? As a part of mitigating some of that damage. And so that anger at the beginning can be, you know, there are a lot of normal positive elements to that, But when we talk about this wall context, we've got to do something with that anger, right? We have to, because oftentimes we struggle to find ways, for example, and we're going to talk about this more in a minute, to even take emotional ownership of it.
Yeah.
Right? Without even realizing, we'll sometimes turn that over to a partner.
And to realize, you know, anger is a very legitimate initial knee-jerk reaction to protect myself. Again, very legitimate. But keep in mind that anger is always a surface emotion.
Yeah.
It's always an initial response that is covering over the deeper issues. And if we stay with anger and we let it become the dominant force that drives the entire process, we can never get to those deeper issues.
Yeah.
And so it's very legitimate to feel it at first and for a while, but just know that it's very important to start peeling back the layers and see what's under that.
Absolutely. Well, and kind of accompanying that anger, right, is what causes us to kind of keep that wall up among the others that we hold as victims of betrayal is this hypervigilance concept, right?
Yep.
You know, there's a lot of reasons why we go to this place, but, you know, our brain is evidence-based, as we oftentimes say. And when we look at the trauma response in the brain and how it works, one of the hallmarks of it is kind of going to that worst case scenario in order to mitigate any damage of being let down or betrayed again, right? If I can assume the worst and get comfortable with and wrap my head around the worst, then anything else would just be good news.
Right. So true.
And obviously that there is a defense element to that, but it also, when it comes back to reestablishing and building the relationship, if you got, because remember, this podcast episode specifically is if assuming that you're in a place of wanting to rebuild, right?
Right.
If both of you are taking actions to establish baseline safety, so that we're already kind of assuming that we should probably make that clear. If you guys are in a place of being able to work on this, that's where the hypervigilance again can be, if not regulated, can become problematic because it prevents, among other things, change. Right. If my brain has already decided for sure what my partner is going to do and that whatever action they take is going to be somehow hurtful or deceptive, it really limits his ability to do anything different.
Yeah. Yeah. And having a brain on high alert, again, is a very legitimate way to protect yourself from additional pain. So, you know, just know when you feel that is normal. But if we stay in that place of hypervigilance, always waiting for the shoe to drop, always waiting for the next catastrophe to hit, then we can't open ourselves to little incremental changes, little tiny rebuilding of trust, right? That's restored one step at a time as he starts to act in a more trustworthy way, just through small things. And if we're just completely on high alert, we can't be open to those little incremental changes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for all of you listening out there, Mark and I get it. We know recovery is tough stuff.
No kidding, man. We'd have given anything during those dark addiction years to have two seasoned professionals like us, you know, to bounce stuff off of, to get advice, to get mentoring.
I know, right? That's why we've created the perfect program to guide addicts and spouses on their path to healing. For those listening today, there's no need for you to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to make the same mistakes we did.
Don't go it alone. We're in this together. To get started, visit daretoconnectnow.com.
You know, and that really does bring us to kind of the next biggest barrier that we see oftentimes with these amazing partners that we work with. There is a real fear. Mark, I loved how you kind of expressed this. I love the phrase, but I hadn't heard it in a while, of oftentimes wives find themselves in that position of going along to get along. Right?
Yeah.
You know, kind of going with the flow as a way to avoid tension, sometimes without even realizing it as partners. And sometimes it's just a downright defense survival mechanism, right? We compromise our authentic voice for the sake of avoiding conflict. Now, again, in the short term, that may very well be the right call if you guys are lacking, right? If your partner's unsafe to be able to share things with, then you may have to withhold things like that, you know, true deep feelings until things are being worked on. But if you're in this repair stage, right, that voice, part of a task of of someone struggling with betrayal, and a partner obviously has the full obligation to support this process, but is working on finding that voice again, right? Bringing that back to the surface and doing what we oftentimes talk about on this podcast, and telling your partner what they need to hear rather than what they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that can, at first, it's going to naturally seem like maybe it's not worth it.
Yeah.
I'm starting to speak up. I'm starting to step out of this, just go along to just keep things as even as possible. Because when you're dealing with betrayal trauma and the normal aspects of a relationship, maybe you're raising kids, you've got all the other, maybe you work, you have an employment, a job, you have all this stuff going on. And now we're saying, on top of all of that, go ahead and start speaking your truth to even put things in upheaval even more.
Yeah.
And there's a part of you that says, whoa, 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 you know what? I'm just going to try to smooth this over and just keep it even because I can't deal with anything more.
Yeah.
It's a very natural response to try and take care of yourself. But what we're hoping is, as you do start to make little breakthroughs, and as the spouse who's struggling with addiction begins to be more open about these things, that you'll then start to take these little steps of courage to say, you know what? I'm going to come out of just the go along, and I'm going to start to speak my voice. Even though I know it's going to be hard, it might really upset things for a while, and it might appear to be more difficult, but I've got to do it.
I've
just got to be heard finally.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and if we kind of shift here, because there are lots of barriers, but for the sake of time, we want to move to some of the solutions, right? Or at least give you kind of a beginning starting place for these. you know, and as we talk solutions, the thing that comes to mind every week, it seems like when we're talking these days, is I sit here as we're on this podcast, and I just reflect on how excited I am that in Dare to Connect, we're going to be able to like really get into the deep side of the solution piece.
Mm.
Right? Really jump into actually modeling this stuff for you. We were talking this morning, Mark and I, actually about our wives coming onto the Dare to Connect program. And we'll actually be working through and walking through some of these things. You'll be able to hear some of their unique perspectives, both from being in a place where maybe you find yourself right now as a betrayal trauma victim, but also where you can get to as well. So it's going to be one of those really cool things that we can share. But if we look at some of the baseline solution components, the first is that you're going to want to either establish or deepen the dialogue between the two of you on some sort of a baseline level, whatever is safe, right now, in whatever way that looks like. For some people, that might be an in-person discussion, like in a check-in scenario like we've talked about. But for others, you may not be at that point yet. Maybe really vulnerable conversations. My wife and I went through this period where I could only get vulnerable. This is so childish. My wife could totally do it, but I could only get vulnerable in text messages. I'd lose my crap in an argument, and then I'd go storm off or go spend the night at somewhere, you know, get myself kicked out of the house. She never kicked me out. I kicked myself out. But and then I'd be somewhere in some Smith's parking lot or something, and I'd send her a text. I'm really sorry. That was really stupid. I don't know what I was thinking.
Yes,
right. That was the only thing safe enough for me, because I just was really struggling. But wherever you're at, it's learning how to bring the voice back in, right? Like Mark said, practicing bringing that in into the dialogue so that you guys can get on a more intimate, vulnerable playing field.
Oh,
go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, because here's what happens. We get into some very habitual patterns over years or decades in a marriage relationship where we don't even realize we're doing it. It's autopilot. It's just what we've done in order to be able to cope and keep going.
Yeah.
And it becomes even subconscious. And in order to start to break out of that, you've got to start establishing a dialogue and an interaction that is different from what you've always done.
For sure.
And the thing about that, I love what you said, Steve, as we were getting ready for this, you've got to anticipate some pain before some gain. Just know that this is not going to be easy. It's going to be uncomfortable. You're going to stumble around. You're going to think, why are we even attempting this? That didn't go well.
Yeah.
And I would actually counter that. And I think I've expressed on the podcast before, when I see a couple start to try this, when I'm in sessions and things are really getting like volatile and you know, the volume's like up to full blast with each other, I actually will like put both my fists in there and say, yes, yes, this is awesome. We're finally getting somewhere. And they look at me like, you're insane. It's like, no, the dialogue is different. This isn't the same old. We're actually starting to dare to come out of that old place. And yeah, it's kind of or very messy at first.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. And you know, we want to be shooting for, is with any area of repairing the marriage, is you always want to be look, or in your own individual recovery, is you want to be pushing yourself into the uncomfortable, not into the unsafe, right? Which is where we kind of go back to, you know, which kind of leads us into our assignment here of, you know, taking that first step, right? Whatever it is for you guys, it might be, like I said, a letter. If you're like my wife and I at all, and you're listening to this podcast, you might be on like day 8 of literally not having said a word to one another, just yes, like operating in the house, passing like ships in the night. It's like roommates, but worse. Right. And so taking that to the next level is going to be key. I think the other big piece that comes to mind for me would be practicing emotional ownership. And this goes for both a husband and a spouse. Practicing emotional ownership of one's own responses, right? Emotions are something that take time and change gradually over time. What we can really regulate and what we need to focus on first is the emotional responses piece, right? How do I show up in response to the other person? Now, it doesn't mean that I'm taking ownership of what they've done, because clearly in a scenario like this, I think it goes without saying that in most cases, the addict bears the massive weight of the responsibility of the issues that the marriage are facing, at least in this area. But nevertheless, no matter how much responsibility may be placed that way, at the end of the day, I am the only one that can control how I respond and show up to the situation. And while that may not feel very fair, it usually does resonate for most, because that's what's empowering, right? That's what helps us to really be able to find that voice and take our power back in the situation.
Yeah, and I think it's really important for us to be super clear. We want you to push into the uncomfortable one step at a time, but do so in a healthy way.
Yeah.
You know, because some clients said, oh, great, Mark's telling us to take off the gloves and we're going to bare fist knuckle each other, you know, verbally and emotionally. It's going to be all out World War III. And that's what he's talking about.
Yes.
That's not what I'm talking about.
You're not wanting a Jerry Springer experience?
No, we're not.
Instead of Jerry, though, we're chanting like couple, couple, couple.
No, we're not. Like, we're not going for that. No, and this is why when Steve says we need to start to take emotional ownership for our responses, if you begin to bridge this gap and say, okay, we're going to come out of our typical go along to get along or not talk to each other or scream at each other, we're going to start to try to take this healthy path. If you notice that as you attempt this, you can see that we're headed right back into that deep same rut, and we're going right back to the old behaviors, then you need to be able to have an agreement to back off, step back, you know, go and do some journaling, go and do, you know, the different healthy things we've talked about, and come back and try again. This is not just grit it out, right? And basically go to war with each other and think that that's going to somehow be productive if that's the only attempt we make.
Yeah.
So trying to push into the uncomfortable one little step at a time, but in as healthy a way as possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, we love our listeners. We appreciate your willingness to tune in and to fight for your relationships. This is such difficult stuff. And as always, our hearts go out to spouses of those struggling with addiction, and you know, the uniqueness of the lack of, you know, playing a role in finding yourself in the situation that you're in. We appreciate you fighting and working for this as well, and we know that your spouses do too.
And we know this is, it's complicated, and we're not going to give you all the answers on this little brief podcast, but Steve and I can hardly contain ourselves in our exuberance. We're like two little kids, right?
It's going to be good, man.
Oh man, we can go over all the dialogue and how to do this. We can model it. We can literally show them how it's done. It's Dare to Connect when we launch.
So excited.
But we're crazy excited about the Dare to Connect launch. And you know, if you want to know more about that, it's going to be May 1st. We open for registration.
Yep, we do. First group is on May 3rd.
May 3rd will be our first live webinar. So go to daretoconnectnow.com to find out more about that launch and updates, and just so excited for that to happen.
Absolutely. And as always, if you guys have questions or things that you'd like us to talk about on the podcast, I'll be in this brief format that we have. Feel free to go to pbscpodcast.com. We've got a contact form on there. Fill that out and we will get right back to you. Have a great week, everybody. Everything expressed on the PBSC podcast are the opinions of the hosts and the participants and is for informational and educational purposes only. This podcast should not be considered mental health therapy or as a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out the clinical guidance of an individual qualified mental health professional. If you're experiencing thoughts of suicide, self-harm, or a desire to harm others, please dial 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.